We're so blessed you joined us at Cultivating Hearts. We are with Hosanna and Tara and myself, Sandy. And last time in Philippians, we didn't get very far, but it was so precious. And talked about the two women that I'm not going to go there with their names because I won't get it right. And how they were fighting and bickering in the church, and how Paul was encouraged those to come alongside them and bring back unity and harmony in their walk. And so we're going to go on and talk more about unity.
Works together. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, you know, okay, and I don't know that I'm pronouncing them right either, Sandy, so you shouldn't be worried about that. Paul said in Philippians 4:2, he says, I entreat Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. And so what we were doing is we're actually looking at how when we are serving alongside people, Paul's a leader, and what he looked like. And I just, as I was preparing the radio stuff, I had just in the last like week or so was studying personally in Thessalonians, and so this was something I saw in Thessalonians, and I felt that it applies here, and how to invest in a spiritual leader. And Paul was talking to the people of Thessalonia about his time with them, and he's remembering his visit. And it actually talks about his struggle he had in Philippi. And I'm like, that's really appropriate. So I've brought that into our lesson. So we're going to have Zanna read for us again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
It says, you know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. We know that you know that we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for the praise of men, not from you or from anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could not be a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of our God, but our lives as well, because you were so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order to not be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are our witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children.
That's so good. I really love how he writes. It makes me just feel blessed. So we've looked at how he challenged them in the face of opposition to be bold and courageous. We've looked at how in the process of preaching that it's to be without deceit, trickery, or impure motives. We looked at how he describes that a leader's relationship with God, and that he needs to know and understand not just about himself, but those that he's serving, that it's approved of God, entrusted with the good news, purpose to please God, and to know that God's the one that examines the heart. So what we're going to look at now is in the relationship of the one that we're discipling. And he actually says quite a few things about that, what that looks like. What are some of the things that you see that he has said to them about his walk with them as he's walking with them? Does he flatter them?
No.
No. And is he expecting them to flatter him?
No.
Yeah. That's not a part. And that goes back into the pure motives. It's not about, you know, what can I get from you or what you in that capacity other than the gospel can get from me. Was he pretending friendship?
No. It's coming from his heart.
Yeah, it was authentic. Mm-hmm. It was authentic. And it wasn't, you know, because he wanted something from them or he was trying to move up a ladder or anything along that lines. I mean, it was an authentic, I am your friend. I am here. I'm not going anywhere. And I love that. What about, was he seeking human praise?
No. He says mm-hmm. that repeatedly, that mm-hmm. he's like, I'm doing this God. To glorify mm-hmm. God.
Right. Yeah, to get God's honor, his glory. Was he asking for them to do anything in return or demanding from them something in return for what he was doing?
No.
he refers to them so often as his children.
Yes.
Yeah. And the concept of that is like a parent who's like, okay, well, you need something else, here you go. It's mm-hmm. like very giving and open and sacrificial.
Unconditional.
Right. Yeah. Right. What about, you said that he says it several times. He actually refers to being the parent twice just in these short verses. He has very much a parental mindset. So Hosanna had already said that, so I'll just add that one in. How does he talk about the ministry? Is it a one-time deal, a lifelong life, living with them? What does it look like as far as, was it a one-time visit with them? Or when he loves them, what did it look like?
Well, I think any time that you have somebody like that's his flock, that it's a long time. You know, you never quit loving them.
Nope.
You may not see them for a while, you know, mm-hmm. like distance or whatever, but you still love them.
Yeah, like with this book, it's probably been some time since he's been mm-hmm. with them, but he still writes them with a lot of affection.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when you think of the family concept, you think of life on life, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is being able to see and know that life so well that he is able to have that familial effect. So even though he may not be with them at the time of the writing, he still had at some point a life on life with them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then the last one that I saw is as he's serving them, and we kind of talked about this, but does he try to place burdens on them, or is he trying to lift their burdens?
He always says, I don't want to be a burden to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think the goal, if you're having a relationship with somebody, is to help lift their burden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where to take their burden on.
And in some cases, Paul does say, and he's like, I didn't. You know I didn't. Like, mm-hmm. he knows he did not. And mm-hmm. so he just flat out says it. So as I was looking through this, like, think about this. And then you think of how easy it is, especially if we're a leader that's up front, to allow these things to actually be a part of our walk when they shouldn't be.
Mm.
How easy it is to seek and want flattery. How easy it is to pretend to be a friend when you're not. How easy it is to just welcome the human praise and not give God glory. How easy it is to demand that people do things for you and you never do things for them.
Mm.
How easy it is to abuse that relationship, you know, and not just have it be our words, but not have actions along with our words. And so making sure that the words and actions match. And then literally to the point where eventually, like, as a leader, we could end up being a burden to somebody. And I'm like, God, that terrifies me. That absolutely terrifies me. God, like, protect me. And I have been praying pretty regularly. This particular section on how a spiritual leader should invest was so poignant for me that I posted on this was an accident. I do this often. It's funny. Intending to post it on my Facebook page, and I accidentally posted it on the RA page, but it was kind of funny because the RAs needed it anyhow. But it wasn't intended for them. I intended it to be on my Facebook page. And I've prayed it over the leadership at Grace a couple of times just in the last 2 weeks. And then again this morning as I was going back over this, it's like, God, you know, I want to be a leader that is authentic in all of these, that has that heart of service that Paul emulates. And so the next question I started asking when I was looking at this section is like, well, what did his personhood look like? What did Paul look like and what he was describing? Well, the words that he used to describe himself throughout this letter, start with like looking in verse 9, like he says what? I worked hard among you. Night and day I toiled. He goes on and he says, I wasn't a burden. And so he lists out all these things. And so what I found is he said he was a hard worker. He was devout to the Lord. He was honest and faultless before them in his toils. But here's the two that it blessed me, and it actually made me start to cry, because this is truly how I feel about those that I take care of at Grace. But it's also how I feel about those that I've had in the past in Bible studies, or if I go to a speaking engagement, I'm always surprised by God's love that he causes us to have for people. And Paul sums this up so well. He says in verse 13, he says, "Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of the words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God," which of course it is. "And this word continues to work in you for those who believe." And I thought, he's talking about his flock and his crown, all right? And two things that I saw that he was constantly praising God for. One, he was praising God for the ones that recognized the message when he spoke it. Their ears perked up, their bodies, you know, ignited, and he could tell they recognized it was from God and not from him. And he was blessed by the people that happened, when somebody took the word of God and like recognized it as the word of God. And then two, he says, for the ones that accepted God's message. And nothing fires me up more than like Hosanna goes with me on Monday mornings at the Open Door Mission. And when I can see in the class, when I ask a question and somebody answers, and you can just totally see they have recognized it is from God and they have accepted it. And then I hear them speaking it into their own life. And it just makes you just so buoyed up in Jesus. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
And that is what he was letting them know. And that's what he's doing for the people of Philippi. And that's what he's trying to get Yodia and Syntyche to understand. When you take the gospel message and you recognize it and you accept it, that is when big things can happen. And there's nothing better as a leader than watching that happen. The only thing I know that's greater is the actual moment somebody prays to receive Christ. But in order for them to do that, they have to do these two things. And so it's whatever level. It doesn't matter what level it is. And this week I was really, well, this is crazy. Okay, so I'm sitting on my couch and I should be writing some letters that I have to write. Formal documents, let me say it that way. And I'm checking email because I really don't want to have to write them. And I'm listening to Pandora. And on Pandora, I have Pentatonix's Christmas music playing. Mm. And I have never, ever had Pandora go out of the genre that I've requested. Like, it always stays, you know, if you say Christmas music, it just stays with Christmas music. And I'm sitting there working, and all of a sudden, Lauren Daigle's Thy Will Be Done starts playing. And I kind of froze, and I looked down at my phone, and I'm like, what? No, I'm listening to Christmas music. And it says Pentatonix, you know, Christmas. And it's like, I didn't accidentally hit the phone and it skip or anything like that. And I'm like, and then I just started bawling. And you have to understand, that song for me right now, as I've been processing my injured feet, has become like my theme song of just singing over and over, Thy Will Be Done. And I just sat and stopped everything I was doing, and I just listened to the song and just wept before God and was blessed by God. And I was like, I have to write this and send this to the SDO team and tell them what just happened. I'm like, no, I don't want to tell them. You know, and I'm going back and forth, you know, tell them, no, don't, no, yeah, like just stupid in my head. And then I'm like, no, I have to tell them, because it shows I'm recognizing God's at work. I'm showing them how God's at work in me, and then I'm accepting the message of what God's giving me. I want his will to be done. And sent it off, and I mean, like, almost instantly, you know, Jess, our resident director, responded back at, like, how much she was blessed by me sharing what God was doing. And when we allow people to see that we have recognized God's message and we are accepting God's message in us, it also blesses those around us. But that requires that we have to engage. We have to be involved. We have to be willing to be vulnerable, and we have to be willing to communicate on that level. And that's what Paul's challenging them. He's like, you can't just say, oh, well, they've got an issue, I'm going to stand back. And he wants them to get where they accept it. They don't just recognize it, they accept it and walk in it. And that's what he's longing for. And it just, bless me when, like, as I ponder that. So then let's go back to Philippians now. And so we got to turn in our Bibles again. And so in Philippians 4, we have where he takes us to the next thing. And in verse 3, he says, yes, I ask you also, true companion. And he's referring to probably the person he is writing the actual letter to deliver it to the church. He said, help these women. Help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. He is so urgent with them because he wants that to be evident that they are recognizing and accepting the message. And so he's telling the person who's the true companion, help me with this. Let's see this through. And I don't know, it gets really easy for us to go into the mode where we're going back in the Thessalonians and where we can pretend to be the friend, but we're not going to engage because we don't want to have to, that's their business. Mm. And it's hard, because some people are going to receive it and some aren't. And a circumstance I was in this week is like, okay, we have three things that could happen. One, you're going to go and you're going to engage and they're going to go, you're right. And they're going to say, yes, God, we accept it. We recognize it. Let's move forward and make this right. And I go, but you could go forward and you're going to engage and they're going to look at you and say, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. And I want no part of this. And actually maybe even get aggressive on you and attack you because you've come forward and tried to make it right. And the third thing that could happen is they could look at you and say, okay, but not do anything with it. And ultimately, we want it to be where it's the recognize, accept, and actually move forward in the engagement. And that's what he's wanting them to do. We've moved so fast on this. We only have like a minute and some seconds left. So Euodia and Syntyche, we were talking in the break. Their names mean, Euodia means prosperous journey. And what did you have in yours? That's according to the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Sandy, do you remember where you put it?
I think it was sweet fragrance.
Okay. And then Syntyche means pleasant acquaintance. And that one's also from the Bible Commentary. Did you find yours?
It's right in front.
Okay.
Syntyche, it says affable.
Okay. So somebody that's an easy person to get along with,
right.
A pleasant person. Do you understand?
So, you know, there's their names and not living up to their names at all. That's what it is.
That's it. And if we are in agreement with somebody and we're in agreement and recognizing the Word of God and in agreement of accepting it and moving forward in it, we will make a prosperous journey and a pleasant acquaintance. Huge message in just this one sentence in Scripture about these two women. And so I'm going to challenge you today to pray through your relationships. How can you move forward in such a way that it's a prosperous journey and you become a pleasant acquaintance because you're recognizing God's message and accepting it and encouraging it in somebody else? God bless.